It's a little bit after 4 o'clock, and you are tuned to KDNK, as you heard a second ago there. I'm Will with the Soper Sun, bringing you everything under the sun, a little half hour where we chat about things in our paper and things not in our paper. With me in the studio is Megan Tackett, our chief reporter.
Hello, hello.
And Rob Goodwin, the new fire chief.
Glad to be here.
So, as you may be able to surmise, we're going to chat a little bit today about Rob's selection, or rather signing of a year-long contract as fire chief, which happened a few weeks back, and he's been serving as the interim fire chief since February?
End of January.
Okay, so for some time now. And he's also been involved since 87?
Yeah, 87.
So we're going to chat with him. Megan did the story, so she'll probably take the lead on that. This is a call-in show, so if you have any questions for Rob, questions for us, concerns, observations, or breaking news, 963-2976, we'll patch you in. Megan, you did the story, and you have some background with Rob, so where shall we begin?
Well, actually, I thought we should begin since we're sitting in the KDNK building, which used to be the fire station, and you've got, you know, a record there, right? You were around it those days.
I was in Carbondale in those days. I wasn't part of the fire department.
What were you doing, Rob?
I was being a well-behaved teenager.
Were you? That seems suspiciously specific in the way you've expressed it.
Well, and you were around those days. And I think what Will's getting at is you told me that, oh, everyone knows this story. I didn't know this story. I don't think many people know this story. You were a local hero. You were football champions, right?
We were in the year school year 77. I was a senior and was part of the Rams football team, and yeah, we were state champs.
Awesome. Yeah.
Not only that, but on your home field, if I recall correctly.
It was great. Yeah. The games were played at the old middle school, which is
Bridges now.
Now Bridges, yeah. That was the only place in town that had lights. The new high school, which is now the middle school, had a field, but they didn't have any lights. So
didn't they have to actually bring in bleachers or something?
Yeah, it was great. The high school, those big metal bleachers they have there now, they were there, and there weren't a lot of big bleachers at the old middle school. And so a bunch of the folks in town, Public Works, Les Cerise, a whole bunch of people like that, trailered those through the streets of Carbondale and set them up.
Were the streets at least paved?
Most of them. Yeah. Not all of them.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, new role for you in the fire department, but certainly, I mean, how's it feeling? Is it feeling new, like, oh my gosh, it's shiny and new, or is it just old hat by now?
No, it's still new enough that I'm excited, you know, I'm just excited to go on into a different phase and, frankly, to, you know, if you're a chief, you're able to kind of put your mark on the place. And I'm anxious to do that with the group of people we have. They're just the firefighters and medics. They're awesome. They're right. Just such a great group of people. Always have been.
What do you want your mark to be?
That's a good question. I believe that I'm going to step back just a little bit because I think you have to remember where you came from.
Absolutely.
And at the fire department, you know, everybody who's there now stands on the shoulders of giants, in my opinion, that came before us. You know, there's a whole litany of them: Barbara Bush, Chuck Katz, Gene Schilling, Terry McShane, Mark Luttrell, Maureen Knuckles. I mean, the list goes on and on. And I really want to... Yeah, you always have to change with the times and try to become a modern fire department, just like everybody, every business. But I really think you can't let go, or you shouldn't let go, of the history and who you are. And since I've been on the fire department, and it was what I was taught when I got there, was that the place is really about the people. They're the ones that go out and do this work and take care of sick and injured people and put out fires. So the job is about people, and you can't forget that. So, so I guess what I want to do is keep moving toward being a good, progressive, modern fire department that you have to be, but always with that people first culture.
You know, I'm curious, since we're talking about that progress, we're talking about that change, what does that look like? What have we seen, you know, when you started, what did it look like to be a firefighter? What does it look like now, and what might it look like in the future on a broad scale, not just in Carbondale?
Sure. Well, it's changed a lot. Today, the majority of our calls are medical, you know, and trauma, ambulance-type calls, right? We run an advanced life support ambulance, and that is the majority of the calls. When I started, it wasn't that way. We went on a lot of fires back then in the 80s, early 90s, but, you know, building codes and things like that have changed that. There aren't near the fires that we used to have, the frequency, which is great. And so your focus changes a little bit, but the problem with that is fires are less frequent, but now with modern construction materials and things like that, they're way more intense, and with mm-hmm. modern furnishings, and they burn faster and hotter, and they collapse quicker and all that kind of stuff. So it's a tough thing in that you have fewer fires, but they're worse.
I didn't realize that.
No, it's true. And that's what you had said on the broad view nationally and here. That's the trend nationally. There are fewer fires, but they're hotter, faster, and more destructive and more dangerous to the people that fight them.
And we're talking house fires in particular.
Mainly.
And then, you know, locally there's the wildfire concern. And I guess those go hand in hand because there's a lot more in the way of sort of overlap there. The houses weren't out in the woods in quite the same way, maybe in 1980. Is that accurate?
It's a great point you bring up. For us, the wildland fire component is bigger than the structural fire component, just because of where we all live. And anybody who's been here for a while or has read any of the history knows there's been some really big, bad wildfires here, destructive ones. And we pay a lot of attention to it. We have a wildland, what we call initial attack patrol program that we do every summer. We'll be doing it again this summer. The goal is to keep small fires small. And we've been pretty successful with that. I mean, you can't say you'll never have a big fire. You just don't know. But it's very important to us. And it's one of the biggest hazards we have here.
Speaking of one of the biggest hazards we have here, you know, selfishly, I'm still pouting about a lackluster ski season, right? Yeah. But in terms of water, and I know snow melt isn't the only contributor to water in the spring, but are you worried about the burn season this year?
Potentially. I think we talked about this the other day. I quit trying to predict fire seasons a long time ago because I was always wrong. But the way it's shaping up now, it doesn't look good, but we could have a wet spring or an early kind of a wet or early monsoon in the summer, and that, you know, really puts the damper on wildfires or not. And we're preparing as if we're going to have a significant season, like I think you should, and hopefully we'll get some snow in April and maybe May. Yeah, that would help.
So there's reason for me to stay an optimist.
Absolutely. It can happen.
I love that. Good, good.
Rob, you mentioned, at least in the story that I read, and this was something I was not aware of, that you kind of took some time off in the middle there. What can you tell us about that? I mean, Megan had the pun of burnout, but is that an accurate description of what went on?
Well, I think I might have used that word, that I was a bit burnt out. You know, I started with the fire department in 87, and then I was hired as an assistant chief in 92, and I spent, 17 or 18 years there, and I loved it, but I worked really hard, and during the time we were raising our children, which was the biggest deal, and as our children got older and growing up, we were heading towards being empty nesters, and the real reason is my wife and I always wanted to kind of have a little adventure together, and we always thought we would want to buy and run a business together and see how that went. And so we did that.
Bob, I think you're being a little modest. How many children were you raising?
Well, we had five children together, and we also raised one of our nephews, John, for about 8 years, so we consider him a son. And then we had a couple of his sisters, our nieces, for several years as well. So at one time there was eight. And, yeah,
that's a lot to keep track of.
Yeah, they called us the loud people. That's just what they did.
Being chief is going to be a piece of cake now, right?
For sure. Any, you know, should we expect any changes are we sort of seeing kind of a smooth transition from the Ron Leach philosophy to the Rob Goodwin philosophy?
A smooth transition. Ron Leach did so much for this place. He took it from a great group of people that was a small, all-volunteer fire department. He led it through a couple of bond issues and to where we had a combination of paid responders and volunteers as well, and brought us into being a modern fire department. I just, I really want to... follow on that, you know, and improve areas if I can. But he set us up well. Can't thank him enough.
So what are the hallmarks of a modern fire department? Is it that paramedic level ambulance service? Is it that, you know, magic number that relates to your insurance? What are those things that you're proud of that you're hoping to continue?
Well, it is an advanced life support ambulance, and we have that. And it's response time, right? People expect well-trained people to respond to their emergency in a reasonable amount of time. And that's kind of the way I look at it globally in the fire district, because the response times differ from rural areas to the more urban or suburban areas like Carbondale, right? And our ISO rating, we've worked hard on that over the years. And two years ago, we received an ISO rating of 3, which is excellent. And we want to keep that. And the way you keep that is by progressing. You can't stay the same or else it goes backwards.
Yeah.
How are your needs being met in the department? Do you have enough volunteers right now?
No. We don't. And we're... we had talked the other day that it's easy to put up a recruiting banner and some ads in the paper and people will come. And I think that's true. You just have to be ready for them. Mm-hmm. And we do plan on doing some specific recruiting throughout the district in the South End and in Carbondale. But we're laying the groundwork right now to be ready for them with the training programs and the equipment and things like that. It's really expensive to outfit a firefighter.
I bet. Yeah. I bet. If somebody was interested in volunteering, what are some things that they should be looking for in themselves?
I think the desire to help people is a big one. And if that's something that just kind of is always pulling at you, then this could be an outlet for that.
That was kind of your experience, wasn't it?
It was my experience, yeah. And if somebody wants to volunteer today, I would say call us at the firehouse and we'll bring you on. It's just because we're not doing recruiting formally doesn't mean that we're not taking on volunteers, because we are right now. We took on 4 or 5 more in January, and we do it regularly.
And the number at the firehouse?
963-2491.
Excellent. Jenny might be getting a random call right now.
Jenny, a cat. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. Cool. I should let you know, you are tuned to KDNK, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. Support for KDNK comes from Roaring Fork Transportation Authority. Online bus schedules and routes at myrfta.com. The MyRAFT bus tracker gives real-time information for all routes throughout the valley. Info, again, myrfta.com. Also from Roaring Fork Schools, announcing a series of events in March covering topics in support of adolescents' health and well-being. Vaping will be featured at Glenwood High School at 6:30. Parents, teachers, and community are invited. Further info at roaringforkschools.com. Underwriting on KDNK is an effective way to market your business. Reach your friends and neighbors in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond with KDNK's reasonable underwriting packages. Email greg at kdnk.org. Support also comes from Harmony Scott Jewelry Design, offering a local shopping experience in downtown Carbondale. Handmade limited edition jewelry, voted local's favorite since 2001. Gifts for everyone from the town you love. Gallery at 199 Main Street or online at harmonyscott.com. I'm Will with the Soper Sun, here with Megan Tackett, also of the Sun, and Rob Goodwin of Carbondale and Rural Fire Protection District. Get that right?
Exactly right.
Okay, good. Yeah. I try to be accurate.
That's good.
we got about 10 minutes left here in our half-hour news segment, Everything Under the Sun. Rob, is there anything else you'd like to share about the fire department?
I'd like to let the community know that if they don't already know that we have a great group of people at the fire department, and they're dedicated to serving their fellow citizens, and they're well trained and very compassionate group, and I love being a part of it.
Well, thank you for what you're doing, and also for being here, Megan.
Yeah, I was going to say, we love having you as part of the community, so thank you.
Thank you.
Cool. We're going to take a little bit of advantage of the last 10 minutes we got here to chat about other things in the paper. Rob, you're welcome to sneak out if you like, or you can sit here and ask us questions if you want to turn the tables.
Yeah.
Oh, my mic is too loud. Megan, you did a couple other stories this week.
Yes.
One of which you shared with our lovely Rampage, the Roaring Fork Rampage printed in this week's Sun. We have a lovely juxtaposition between Megan's story and the cover story. But tell us about Model UN.
Model UN at Roaring Fork High School in particular is very cool. It is one of the most popular clubs in the school. And I actually did Model UN when I was in high school. I remember I had a graduating class of almost 400. We were lucky to get like half a dozen kids, right? They took 30 kids to New York, and Matt Wells, who's a social studies teacher there and is also kind of the teacher supervisor of the club, this is their fourth time in New York. They always do it. They really only have the capacity to dedicate to going to one conference. So at the beginning of the year, there were almost 50 kids. And then, of course, you know, no student these days is only doing one extracurricular. You've got to balance conflicting schedules. And on that note, the kids that stick with it, they meet at 7 o'clock in the morning on Wednesdays, because that's the only time that doesn't conflict with something else. You know, one of the co-secretary generals that I spoke with, Eliana, she is also actually the editor of the Rampage, right? For instance. So I was laughing to myself thinking, wow, what am I doing at 7 o'clock in the morning? And it's probably not debating the finer points of North Korea.
You know, that's a really interesting point. And I don't know if this was true for you, Rob, when you were at Roaring Fork, but for me, everybody was involved in everything. You had a core group that had to do, you know, if you wanted to be involved and you wanted to make something happen, you had to be there. And you were.
That's true. It was the same for me.
How many people did you graduate with?
66.
No, you actually had a bigger class than I did. You know, and I'm finding that still true. I was over there earlier last week or late last week to cover the Voices Project, which incidentally is happening this weekend at Thunder River Theater. Good chance to see not just kids performing, but performing work that they worked on themselves. They're really kind of bearing their souls out there. Mm-hmm. I'm told it's hard to not connect with, and just based on the conversations I had. But then some of those same students I ran into in the course of covering the National Walkout Day,
right?
Just yesterday, we try to keep things turning around pretty quick, and there they are again, the same kids, some of them in Model UN, some of them in the Rampage. Mm-hmm. These folks are just they're so absurdly
such
talented.
Cool things, yeah. And I even in New York, what was crazy to me is just the exposure that they got. Right, I mean, a lot of the kids, they've never really left Carbondale before. And then all of a sudden to go to New York City and go to the real United Nations. And, you know, the kids were representing Cote d'Ivoire or Denmark for the most part. And they were actually able to meet with a Danish deputy. And she was able to educate them about the finer points of her day-to-day work. And they were getting tips from the real pros. That's crazy to
me. That's fantastic.
Yeah. You know, Rob, since I've got you here, I did hear a rumor when I was covering the walkout day that the fire department has been talking to the kids a little bit about what they're planning for April 20th, kind of a thank you to the people who keep them safe, as well as a discussion of other ways that they could be safer in schools. Have you been in on that conversation?
I have a little bit. We have several of our people working with them. It's going to be great, I think, with the high school, with the kids, Carbondale Police, us, and I think some other groups. And I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be educational, hopefully, and I really appreciate the heart they have for wanting to thank us.
Well, and that's such a nice collaboration, too.
Truly.
I wonder, that sounds unique. I wonder how many similar conversations are happening in other areas in the country right now.
Cool. Just in from Kelsey Goodman at Roaring Fork High School, Drew Broadhurst apparently pitched a perfect game. So that's a huge win for the baseball team. School sports starting up for yet another thing that you might be involved in. Did you do any spring sports?
I ran track.
Oh, yeah. See, yeah, that's happening. Baseball, girls soccer. It's all happening down at Roaring Fork and at Ross Montessori, where they had an event as well, and CRMS. And there's the list of talented kids doing cool things out here goes on. Megan, anything not school related you'd like to address from this week's paper or moving forward?
Sort of opposite generation. I was really excited for the Alla Prima Painters, which is this fantastic group of between 8 and 10 women, not just women, actually. I think there is one man as well. But they meet at the Senior Matters Room every Thursday and paint together, and mostly watercolor, but not necessarily limited to that. But they have this wonderful history. Most of them have been painting for decades. A lot of them are actual art teachers. And 5 of them this year decided to submit to the West National Exhibit. 17 states were featured, you know, about 70 artists, and all 5 of the women who submitted were accepted into the show. And that's hanging in Grand Junction right now. Our own Nicola Toussaint actually won an award. She won a $100 prize for her piece, which was this beautiful watercolor of an Apache girl holding a puppy. And there was a fun story behind that. Her friend had been at the reservation with a veterinary group that was offering services. And her friend noticed this girl and snapped a photo of it and gave it to Nicolette, that she then turned around and used as inspiration to paint. And it is astounding when you see that photograph and her watercolor side by side. It's, again, we are so lucky. We are constantly surrounded by such talent in so many different capacities.
Yeah, it just seems to come from every corner. We haven't even touched on the fashion show, which
right.
You know, is our cover and all of the photos on the inside. Lots of real talent showcased in that. Megan made it last weekend. I was not able to attend. I don't know if Rob, if that's your cup of tea, but did you make it to the fashion show?
I was not there.
Okay,
I was chasing around grandkids.
Okay, that's a very good excuse. I was visiting my grandfather, so it all works out. I think that's about all the time we have. Thank you, Rob, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Megan, for tag teaming this with me.
Thanks as always.
This has been Everything Under the Sun. And up next, what did Gavin say? We're talking.
So I think it's a veterinary
pets.
Thing. Yeah,
should be good. All right, stay tuned.